Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I am Boyd Hilton. I'm hopped up on painkillers and I'm joined by two splendiferous colleagues, Kay Ribeiro and Stephanie Seelan.
Hello, you're going to have to explain why you're hopped up on painkillers. Well, it's all Benedict Cumberbatch's fault, really, wasn't it?
I think that's harsh. But,
he hasn't been dealing Boyd any narcotics.
My medical advisor did say that it's possible that binge drinking on champagne, unusually for me, in a one night scenario where I had a big dinner with Benedict to celebrate Patrick Melrose. Not just me and him.
This is just how Boyd
lives. There's a whole crowd. It was a Sky event. There was free champagne all night.
But not everyone ended up in A&E like you did.
No, let's not over dramatize. The only reason I went to A&E is I can't believe I'm telling this whole story. The only reason I went to A&E is because I haven't got a GP and I was in intense pain.
Which is ridiculous.
I did have intense abdominal pain and it's a thing that was caused apparently, or at least brought on. It was there already.
It's so bourgeois. I drank too much champagne. First world problems, guys.
And now it's a thing. Yeah, now I'm on painkillers.
But before you hashtag pray for Boyd, we've got to tell you he is in a better condition now. And he went to the BAFTAs last night and he refrained from drinking champagne.
Not afraid from drinking anything. Yeah,
he soldiered
on.
You can't mess around.
No, I was working. I was hosting the winners' press conference. Okay, I couldn't. You know, you can't do that when you're delirious on
pissed. Can't do it when you're pissed either.
You've gone straight in there with a rude word.
Crank up the adult sign
on the podcast.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Caution.
Because Steph and I are very well spoken and you know, you've gone down that rude, rudeness. No, I was absolutely effing delirious. Yeah.
Yeah.
On painkillers. Anyway, what?
Are you going to tell us about the BAFTAs now? Or are you going to save it for a bit?
No, we're going to do that in the what we've been doing and watching and listening to and boasting about section. Name-dropping section.
Okay.
It's like an extended name drop, that is.
Or who you've drunk champagne with this week.
And that, I mean, it's a whole cornucopia of treats.
Kay and I need to get our bongs ready.
Yeah, you need to get there's a big loads of bongs.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Not bongs in the traditional sense, but as in our sound effects.
Yeah,
we're not advocating any bad stuff here, guys.
No.
Although you do, most weeks you are yourself high on marijuana.
Life.
Marijuana. She is not. Oh, goodness.
I've never touched drugs in my life.
She's never smoked a cigarette. Not true. She has. But that's a whole other story.
Anyway, let's not get bogged down in this whole
detail. It's gone out of control.
The most important thing is we've got a big week of very exciting television. A Very English Scandal stars Hugh Grant, Ben Whishaw, Alex Jennings, Patricia Hodge. It's written by Russell T. Davis. It's directed by Stephen Frears. How about that?
It's too much. It's just too much.
Can't take it.
I mean, the doesn't get much better than that.
The caliber.
Does the actual meat live up to the caliber?
Does it live up to the label?
The label, yeah, that's it, yeah. Then we've got a very interesting documentary called Manchester, the Night of the Bomb. It's nearly a year anniversary since the awful bomb that happened on the Ariana Grande concert. And this is a documentary all about it. Going out next Thursday, and the return of dystopian drama, The Handmaid's Tale. And there's a whole saga about that. It's so dystopian that neither Kay nor Steph have watched it.
But it's not our fault that we haven't watched
it. It's your fault. I gave you a link. It was a 48-hour expiration.
And then it didn't work.
And neither of you watched it.
Right. Can I just say something? Now, you know, I wouldn't usually get my hands muddy with this kind of thing and get into embroil myself in this argument. However, what I would point out is Boyd sent Steph and I the link, said, guys, you've got to watch this within 48 hours. It's going to expire. And we clicked on it immediately and it said it had already expired. So one would question how long you had that link.
Yeah. I'm
were you so drunk on champagne you forgot you had the link?
It was pre-champagne.
Then we were not able to watch it. And then we requested another link and that's a whole saga, which is actually my fault. But it wasn't. I don't want people to think we didn't watch it just because of VAD.
Bottom line, I will be reviewing that solo and you will be moaning on about dystopian dramas.
Well, we will ask you questions
pretty much
about it,
as it would be anyway.
And you can ask me questions about it, as is your wont.
Yeah.
But first, before any of that, jollity. Let's find out. And she's already warm. I don't know about you, Kay. I don't know if you chatted, had a pre-podcast chat at all to Stephanie Seelan today. But
no,
she
warned
me.
To keep it very, like...
She warned me early doors. She's got a lot to get through.
Oh, wait a minute.
So,
wait. I'm just back.
Why don't you make yourselves comfortable.
Now, are these all things you've absolutely loved that you're recommending? Or is this just a watch list?
There's a couple of things that I need to talk about the finales of. There's a couple of new things. And there's a couple... Then there's a couple of ongoing
things. Let's just dive straight into it.
I mean, if you want to put the kettle on,
Oh my God, it's Terry Wogan and Eurovision.
It was actually, and Graham Norton said it also on Saturday night, I noticed, in tribute.
God bless
Terry. It's a tribute to Terry, really.
Okay.
Well, I'm not being rude.
Don't worry, Terry's having a tea in the sky. Go on.
Okay, so on Saturday night, I went to a live podcast recording of My Favourite Murder.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Have you ever heard
That's
of this
big
podcast
news.
Before?
Yes, I have heard of it.
So launched in 2016. It has been a runaway success. It's two wonderful ladies who spend their time, and all it is on this podcast is each of them talk about a murder.
So what are their names of these lovely women?
Karen and Georgia.
Yes.
And they are very good friends. And basically, well, Karen was a... she was a comedian before. She was like a stand-up comedian. So it's actually hilariously funny. So we went to the Hammersmith Apollo.
Wow.
It was absolutely packed out.
They've made murder funny.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I don't know how I feel about this.
It can happen.
So yeah, they talked about, one of them did Jack the Ripper and one of them did the acid bath murders. And it was hilarious. It's wow. so,
Words
so
Words you
good.
Never thought you'd hear.
Yeah,
acid
if
bath,
you don't listen,
hilarious.
If you don't listen to their podcast, you should because it's
so
really funny.
Are you telling me that the Hammersmith Apollo, which I know it hosts, I think it's about 4,000, 5,000 people.
It's 5,093 when I checked. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did
no,
you go
I
and count each of the seats?
Because I was debating with my friend who I went with that how many people there were there.
Yeah, it's massive. And there was full.
It was complete, and wow. it was sold out. The
Incredible.
Whole thing was sold out. And
That's
so
why.
Much so that there were even people, fangirls, just outside the venue because it's so huge.
Incredible. That's why the powers to be wants to do this podcast live. But
it was basically, we'll need a bigger
we need
venue.
A bigger
we'll,
venue, yeah.
We'll
the
do
O2.
It in the Costa around the corner from yeah. the Hammersmith Apollo.
But they've got, instead
or
of.
Or maybe we'll do it in the back kitchen of the Costa
Stop
around the corner
putting
from
us
the
down. They call their fans are called murderinos.
Oh, that's
yeah,
brilliant.
It's good.
Like, well, we've got pogs.
Yeah, and
that's
their
better.
Tagline is "Stay sexy, stay sexy, and don't get murdered."
That's
the whole thing. Oh, so at the end, though. They go "Stay yeah. sexy," and everyone goes "Don't get murdered." It's great. It's really good fun.
Brilliant.
Anyway,
and they're American, are they?
They're American. Yeah. They're from LA.
Right.
So yes, listen to that podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. However, an amazing thing has started on Netflix, which I know I talked about last week that it was starting on Friday.
Oh yeah,
Evil Genius. Have any of you taken me up on watching it?
We're busy
no.
people.
Okay.
I mean, right. Eurovision doesn't watch itself.
So come on a journey with me. A man walks into a bank, okay? He's wearing a T-shirt. He's got something around his neck, which is actually turns out to be a bomb, okay? He robs them and he doesn't get away with very much money. And then, like, the authorities are called, and basically, long story short, he's sitting down in the street surrounded by police, and he's got a bomb around him and the bomb goes off. And what they find is he's got all of this information with him that would have led him on a treasure hunt to find the keys that would detonate the bomb so he could live.
What?
Anyway,
Wait
it's
a minute.
Horrendous, this story. It's basically a bank heist which is turned into a treasure hunt. Which has
It's
got
a drama, right?
No, it's real. Real life, it actually happened. It's actually
a
happened.
A man had a bomb strapped to his neck.
He was an innocent man.
An innocent man went on a hide and seek game for a key.
No, he didn't. Somebody strapped a bomb around his neck, made him go and rob a bank.
He didn't do it voluntarily.
And left him.
Oh,
and left him with information.
Well, is it the keyboard?
But left him with information in order to, like, so he could get free from the bomb. And he was saying, this is going to explode. And it indeed does explode. And that poor man sadly
dies. This is the most horrific thing I've ever heard.
Well, don't watch it then because you actually see the bomb explode. It is
what?
Shocking. It is so shocking.
Was it a one-off or is it a sort of one-off?
Four,
how many times
it's
do you think this happened? What, and then he got up and he went on to live another life?
Then what happens later on is a woman called Marjorie Deal, right? I feel like you're not listening to me.
No, we are. We
right?
are. I am.
I'm going to tell you off.
Yeah.
Right.
Marjorie Deal.
Marjorie Deal.
See?
Right. She comes into it because there is a body found in a freezer in a house near her, and I'm not going to tell you anymore, but she may or may not be involved. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Evil Genius, hour and a bit long episodes. Four episodes.
So this Marjorie's involved?
Marjorie's involved. A guy called Bill's involved. I don't want to ruin it for people, but it's absolutely fascinating.
Sounds
okay.
good.
Right.
Yeah, do you know what? I was going to watch it. Now you said you actually see his head explode.
Well, I'll tell you which bit that happens
I mean,
in.
I think it's just his head.
It kind of is.
Well, that's all right then.
Okay.
His head doesn't actually explode. Do you know, I'm not going to get into it. This is so gruesome. Red Sparrow I watched this weekend.
Random.
I know, really random. But what I've realised is that this was not talked about enough, this film. Jennifer Lawrence.
It's the extremely
in a spy drama.
Violent it's, spy espionage
yeah,
torture
it's
drama.
Got,
oh,
I'm
God.
Not giving anything away.
More.
No, it's
like,
got
yeah, she
loves one
it.
Of
scenes.
The best twists I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the twist is incredible. I mean, now when you watch it, you're going to be like, oh, what is the twist? What is the twist? It's so, so good. Jennifer Lawrence gets very naked a lot in this as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But Red Sparrow, really, really brilliant. Okay, two finales I need to talk about. Mm. How to Get Away with Murder finale. I have to say this. I know that neither of you watch it. The finale was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is that the last ever or is more?
No, you know how they always... But
yeah.
I thought it was the last... Oh, no, that's Scandal.
No, that's Scandal. Yeah. No, I mean, if you don't watch How to Get Away with Murder, this has been a great season. Mm. And it finally looks like Annalise has sorted herself out. Laurel's got the baby back.
Oh, thank God.
But Laurel's mum's missing and it's very, very tense. Okay. I don't want to give too much away just in case you're behind with watching How to Get Away with Murder, like you two are.
Yeah.
Homeland.
Oh,
same. No.
Not for more.
What? Oh my God. All right, so Carrie was back to her best. She was set, she's given up her child to her sister because she realizes she is just supposed to be in the FBI, CIA, blah, blah, blah. She's supposed to just be doing all that.
Crying.
Yeah, crying.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have been able to cope with this last episode.
There was a lot of crying.
Did someone get blown up?
Nobody gets blown up. That's the other show.
Everyone's heads and tails.
Right. Basically, it all ends incredibly badly for Carrie and she has gone completely crazy mad.
Oh,
sent
God.
Completely crazy bad by the Russians.
Oh.
It's her best.
You mean mental health issues?
Yeah.
Right.
It's her best crying ever.
Whoa, that's saying a lot. After seven years of it?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, you've got to go out with a bang. Well, not, you know.
She's a great crier.
And the last thing I'm going to talk about is ongoing, and I think you might have finished it, Safe.
Oh, it's exceptional. I've watched it all, yeah.
I haven't finished it, so don't tell me what happens, but I've only got two more to go.
Listen, that's what I was actually going to talk about it, but...
Was that your last item?
That's my last item, but I do need to tell Kay that I've watched I've listened to West Cork the whole thing after she told me to, and it was excellent. Except I'd already got an Audible login, so I did pay $7.99 for it.
I mean, this bit could have been done in a private conversation, to be honest.
Well, not really. This is the only time we speak.
Okay. Yeah, you've watched All of Safe.
Yes.
I've watched All of Safe. Tell us.
Wow. I mean,
please don't tell me anything that happens because I've got two.
No,
I've got two to go.
I'm joking.
I never give away spoilers.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, yeah. You're not talking, so it's going to be fine. Oh God. Right. So I'd already watched three episodes. I think it was. And so yesterday, no, two episodes.
Two.
So yesterday, I thought, right, I'll just watch a couple more.
So we should say this is on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
We reviewed the two.
We reviewed it. It's got Michael C. Hall in it. He's a dad. His wife died of cancer a couple of years previously. He's got two daughters. One daughter in the first episode goes missing, and it's him on the hunt for his daughter. They live in a gated community, and everyone is slowly under suspicion, and it's just basically that investigation. Amanda Abington's his neighbour and is a police officer who investigates. Anyway, was on episode two. Thought, oh, I'll just watch one. Polished the whole thing off. It's got eight episodes, so I watched... Yeah.
Are you telling me that you did a binge?
I did a bloody binge. That's how good it is. It's so good. Like, first of all, Michael C. Hall, his accent. I know I banged on about it originally.
The accent is... The accent deserves a BAFTA itself.
I think we need to look into his roots and make sure he is American.
I think he might be British.
He's not American because...
I think he is.
I know
he's
a good actor, obviously, but, like, his accent is fantastic. You can't floor it.
I think we need to get his birth certificate. This is going to be another kind of...
Okay, well, I'll ask Netflix.
Yeah.
I noticed you were so impressed by his action, you actually tweeted about it. Which is quite a thing.
I really was bowled over by it.
Yeah.
Also, Madden Abington is great. But what I loved about it, right, Danny Brocklehurst is fantastic, like, at adapting this Harlan Coben novel into, like...
It's not normal. Yeah. It's just an original. It's all original.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
How is it Harlan? Hold on. Right, go on.
I explained this when we reviewed it. He creates the story.
But I didn't listen,
it's a new story.
Boyd.
Of course, you don't listen live. He created the story. It's not a novel. It's a new, absolutely new, especially for this. And then Danny Brocklehurst and a few other writers adapt it and take that story and they run with it and they
write the dialogue.
They write the scripts.
So, Harlan Coben wrote this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was it published? It wasn't published.
He created the story. Right?
So he must have written the story down.
For television.
Right.
For this series. This is it.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a collaboration.
Yeah, it's a collab.
So someone went to him, Harlan, we're looking to do a series. Can you write us a little something down?
It's more he himself. This is what happened with The Five.
We don't need to reenact the conversation.
No.
You two.
Yeah, but you got into it now.
I need to know.
He's now himself creating his stories, mystery dramas, especially for television. They're their own stories. They're not from novels. They're independent, separate.
Ooh.
And so it's almost like I've got this story. Instead of writing a novel, this is more. Works more as a multi-part TV thing. That's so. This is what he's done.
Do you know what? That is the best news to ever happen to the TV world. That he's just doing this now, just full time.
Still writing novels.
Okay, fine.
Still writing.
Is that common that people do that?
No, it's quite rare.
It's a new thing.
It's fairly. Well, I think it's happened, but it's quite rare. It's definitely a thing that he himself has decided.
He's probably looking for a new challenge. He's written so many books. Yeah, right. And probably it's like taking.
And he
on.
Loves. He's a huge. He's a huge fan of great of big TV stuff.
Yeah. Well, this honestly, both of them have just done such a fantastic job because every time you think you've got a grip of it and you think, right, yeah, I've figured out something, the rug's pulled from beneath your feet, and you're like. You're completely clueless, and by the end, you're in a complete tailspin, and it is comes to such a crescendo.
Does it come to an right? Let's just say this.
Yes, you'll be satisfied.
I'll be okay. Yeah. That's all
you'll
I
be
worry
satisfied.
About.
Right. Anyway, so that was safe. I was going to talk about that anyway. It's on Netflix. But the new stuff I want to talk to you about is now. Have you heard of a man called Lee Ridley, aka Lost Voice Guy?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Right, Steph.
Have
you?
No.
Well, I actually do know him because now my very good friend Michelle, who I went to primary school with, I call her the Beast. You probably know, heard me call about Beastie. Anyway, she went to university with Lee. So I've met him loads of times. He's good. He's a really lovely guy. And he's a comedian, right? And he's recently been on BGT. Mm-hmm. And he got yeses from the judges. And his whole, he's a stand-up comedian, but he has cerebral palsy. Aww. And so, which has kind of like, he's got no voice. And so, hence, he is the lost voice guy. And he communicates via a computer device, an iPad. Mm. And he always jokes about being like Stephen Hawking, having computer voice. Anyway, I've seen him do stand-up before because in 2014, he won the BBC Radio New Comedy Awards. So I went to the final and watched him win, and it was fantastic. He's been on BGT. Loads of people will have seen him on that. But I think part of the winning this competition was that he got a Radio 4 comedy out of it, which I've just listened to. And, I mean, there's, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, and I've only listened to 2. But it is so good. Ooh. So check it out. I downloaded it. You can get it on the iPlayer radio app, which I didn't know existed, and it's blown my mind. Did you know about this?
Of course. I use it every day.
What's it called?
It's called Ability.
Ability.
So the comedy is called Ability. He's co-written it with a lady whose name I've forgotten. I'll look it up.
A lady?
And it's autobiographical, semi-autobiographical. So it's based on a character called Matt, who's 25 years old. He's got cerebral palsy. He has a carer called Bob, and he lives with his flatmate. I think her name's Jess. And he's basically trying to live an independent life. And it's all the funny things that happen in him trying to do so. So it's stuff from how people react to him and, like, you know, the overcompensators who are really, like, patronising to... It's just so funny that you... Like, I was laughing on the train and I'm... Yeah, go on, sorry.
No.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was listening.
Yeah, and it's really good. So I... Honestly, that's one of my top recommends this week. Check it out, Ability. It's on the Radio iPlayer. And and he'll be on... He's got through BGT, so...
It's a one-off or a series?
No, it's a series. It's 4 episodes, Radio 4. And what I love about it as well is because obviously he speaks through his iPad, so you've got that kind of that voice. And then you've also got how he hears his voice in his head, so you've got a Scouser voice, and you've got Bob. And so it's like there's a lot of comedy to come out of that where he's thinking something, his computer's saying something, Mm-hmm. And the woman who co-wrote it was Catherine Jakeways.
Oh, I know Catherine Jakeways.
Oh.
Yeah, she's great.
Is she? Well, this is fantastic. I tweeted him, I messaged him, and I was like, please say it's going to be
really funny,
another series. And he goes, maybe there might be some TV treatment of it as well. So check it out, Ability. And then the only other thing to say was I've been watching a lot of soap because now...
Commiserations.
Oh,
Boyd, come
but
on.
Yes, commiserations.
I'm joking too.
Okay, lots of joking going on. So I was very privileged to be asked to be on the British Soap Awards panel.
Oh, yeah, I forget that you are a judge.
That's a bong in itself, isn't it?
Bong.
Yeah, I've never had a bong.
Yeah, you should have a bong.
Can I have a different sounding one? I want it to be a bit more showbiz.
Clang.
Oh,
Boyd!
Yeah. That's harsh.
Sorry. God, if anyone deserves a clang, it's you.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
On Friday, I got to be on the panel because I've got a soap column in Heat Magazine, Case Soap Dish. So for that, I had to watch lots and lots of soap. But Boyd was joking then, but a lot of people are quite derogatory about soaps. And actually, I think they need to stop, first of all.
But also, a lot of people watch soaps.
Millions of people watch soaps. And last week, for anyone who is a soap fan, if you watch Coronation Street, Aidan, Connor,
I heard about this.
It was incredible. Loads of people diss Shane Ward for many reasons, but he acted so well in this storyline. It was basically the story of Aidan Connor taking his own life, and it was like,
does he actually take his own life?
Yeah, and it was the run up to that, and it was the scenes you never saw. It was really well handled, and it's the aftermath. And honestly, it was just such incredible performances. You kind of like look at it and you think, you know what? Loads of people can be snooty magooty about soaps, but actually, as a standalone drama, if we were reviewing some like that particular episode, we would have been saying good things
about
it.
But let's not forget how many good actors come out of soaps. Lots
yeah,
of
exactly.
And also
go
Kylie.
To Hollywood.
Hello, Kylie. She came
and
out
your
the
favourite,
soap.
Ricky Whittle. But the judging panel was really good. And I got to sit next to this lady who I've judged before with, Barbara Mashin. Have you know
yeah.
her, yeah?
Yeah.
She is such an incredible lady. She's had such an interesting career. So she was the creator of Waking the Dead. And she's written loads of like screenplays and whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's done Emmerdale and Casualty and stuff. And she was just formidable. And she's done a prequel to Waking the Dead called, I think, is it Unforgiven, Boyd, do you think?
Unforgiven. Does she do Unforgiven?
Yes, on Radio 4.
Oh, that's a different
You're getting
Unforgiven.
Confused with Unforgotten, the ITV thing.
Ironically.
Yeah, just saying.
No, it's Unforgiven. And now that I've got this ruddy, bloody iPlayer radio app, I'm going to listen to it. So next week I'll tell you what it's like.
Ooh.
But she's excellent.
Snooty Magooty, just underlying that phrase. Is that, yeah?
Yeah, Snooty Magooty.
It's one of Kay's favourites.
Yeah.
I noticed also via social media that you were living it up after the Soap All General with some of the other judges. And
yeah.
It looked like alcohol had been consumed.
Yes, but put
my,
it like...
My friend Elliot, for example, from iTalkTelly.
Well, do you know what? He was talking about you and he said how... I found it hard to do...
Boing.
Found it hard to establish it was you from this description. He said, oh, he's such a lovely man. He's really been encouraging of my career. I asked him to come out with coffee and he gave me advice. And I was like, wow. Who is
so
this
who
chap?
Is impersonating that's you, Boyd? Who is it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of... hero I am.
It is.
Oh,
it's true.
God,
it's true.
Smash his head on table. Anyway, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah,
I did
great,
consume
yeah.
alcohol, but not enough to give me diverticulitis.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Mm. Thank you for very comprehensive what you've been doing and watching.
So what have you been doing
in the
between quaffing champagne?
Champagne quaffing. So that was at the launch of Patrick Melrose. Thank you. Brain's going.
Oh my god, his brain's pickled from all that champagne.
It's the painkillers. So there was Sky had this event where various of us got to hang out with Ben, that's what I'm calling him. I call him Ben.
Do you call him Ben?
You know I've said this before. This is
he calls
a big,
you
big,
yeah.
calls him Boydie. He says,
Boydie.
Yeah.
He calls you Boydie.
Yeah.
Is that because he thinks, is it a pet name or is it?
I feel it's a pet name. It's not actually my name.
Oh my god, can you imagine if
you see my byline?
Hello, Boydie.
Boydie.
Yeah.
Milton, Boyd, B-O-Y-D.
Really sweet.
Yeah, so he's very sweet. He was in great mood. His lovely wife was there, who I'd never met before.
Sophie?
Yeah. And lots of kind of important people, like the guy who wrote the original novels of Patrick Melrose.
Oh, my God.
Teddy?
Edward St. Albans. Teddy is he called. He was there. I've got, by the way, they gave me a goodie bag with copies of the novel, so I can bring those in.
Oh, I'd love to read it.
I just haven't done that yet.
Thank you.
But the best thing was about the dinner, apart from the fact that I got ill because of the excessive amount of champagne.
I don't think we could call that the best thing.
It was my own fault. Is that they had the 5-course dinner, and each course was based on an episode of the show.
Oh, that's so clever.
So the first course, remember what happens? We reviewed it on the
New
show,
York.
The drug episode.
Yeah.
So the first course is that you had rose water, warm rose water in a kind of vegetable like broth thing, and you had to inject the rose water from a giant injecting thing. What's it called?
A syringe.
Syringe, thank you.
What, like this?
A giant syringe.
I've got a syringe pen, everyone.
Yeah, I Instagram story it, but it's gone now. Obviously, yeah, giant syringe into your own little dish. Things like that. And then another episode was kind of, there was like Earth, fake Earth for whatever happens in episode 4, which I haven't seen yet, in fact,
okay.
So I don't know. And yeah, it was incredible.
Oh,
it was so brilliantly done. Yeah, it was really
what
clever.
What was for dessert? Are you not, is that God, who'd have thought food would give
a spoiler to episode?
And there was this like oyster thing concoction, which was the second one. And why would that, I'm trying to remember what
that was in France, wasn't it?
Yeah,
when
I think
he
that was
like,
the field. It was kind of like greeny oyster thing covering this oysters.
Wow.
It was based on that field in France. And if I thought that was what made me ill, but it wasn't. It was the excessive champagne.
Who has got the time to create a menu based on
to be
every
fair, you were feasting like Henry VIII as well, so you probably got gout.
Thanks, yeah. It was maybe. Maybe it's gout and diverticulitis.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. But it was brilliant. And
we're still hashtag praying for you, Boyd.
Thank you. And we all had a wonderful time. That's name drop number one. Then,
very quickly. Did you mention to Benedict about this fantastic podcast?
No,
great.
I didn't. Annoyingly,
cool.
I'm
the
sorry.
The one job you had, other than not to get deeply ill,
you know, when
excesses.
You know, when you're deep in a conversation about, we're talking about his performance and what he had to do, and it, and that was, I couldn't just interrupt. And then,
do
and
you
then
think you need to get a tattoo
away
on your arm? Our Miss Wolf podcast tattoo on your arm to remind you?
No, I tell everyone. I tell everyone. I told everyone at the BAFTAs, literally everyone.
Really?
Yeah. So don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
I can
you're
name
back in the,
a vast
you're
array
at the
well,
you
of
will
very important
them
people okay, that good they still had to go out and listen to
okay
the podcast.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah, honestly. And in fact, your favorite Diederik Santa was there, regular podcast listener, and was talking.
Well, I've got some news on him, but a bit later.
So that was that. Yeah, got ill then last night, went to the BAFTAs, hosted the winners' press conference. So, you know, I met Sir David Attenborough.
Your favourite. My friend.
Your
my
friend,
I'd say, yeah.
Big Tom Davis of Murdered and Successful fame. The lovely, now I'm forgetting all their names, Jason Watkins, wonderful actor. Toby Jones of The Detectorists. And had a lovely chat with Dermot and his wife Dee. You know the Scottish guy from Line of Duty whose name I forgot? I should have written notes.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Martin.
Martin Constant, amazing. He was on brilliant form. I hope he doesn't listen to this because I forgot his name momentarily.
That's fine. You're
who's a favourite person you met?
Painkillers.
Oh, do you know what? John Motson. So it was the legendary football commentator.
Oh, was he retired?
He won the special award, yeah. And he was incredible. Like, for me, as a football fan, he's a proper legend. And yeah, so that was pretty incredible. But obviously, Sir David was in good form. But it was generally... you know, it was the funniest winner, of course.
Who?
You know,
Love Island.
Cruising.
Oh!
Cruising with Jane McDonald won.
Listen,
the BAFTA.
No.
For best... Yes, it did.
Yeah, but I think she deserves it because that is a great show.
Wow. You may say that, but
what was it up against?
It was up against like big, serious, factual programs.
Like
I haven't
what
got a list on me. All right, I'm gonna now. Well, now you're gonna have to challenge me to crank
no,
out the list.
Yeah,
I will
crank out the list because in the meantime, I want to talk about something.
Go
a
on
mission I feel was where the hell was Motherland?
Oh,
right. So she was down as I don't know, comedy performance.
Motherland, the great BBC One.
Yeah. Where the hell was
comedy?
Where was it as just comedy?
If you must know,
I was one
of the judges in that category.
Oh,
scripted drama.
It so up, Boyd. I'm furious about this.
You've taken us down.
Well,
the
sometimes you need to F and Jeff. Yeah.
It was a very big year. It was a very tight year for comedy this year.
Get up that list. Get me that list. I want to see it. Just get the list up. I want to see what's better than Motherland.
Kay,
gone.
Calm. Try it.
I've
gone
down.
You've gone rogue.
Do you know
Kay,
what?
The vein is out.
Oh,
okay.
My God. Okay, I've got a vein in my forehead that's very unseemly and it's something like that. But listen.
Yeah.
No, I'm being serious.
Clearly.
Now, I just want to know on that list what was possibly better that nudged Motherland.
Well, this country
out
won for a start. It was a
okay, fine. I accept
show. Have you ever
that
watched it?
No, I accept
thank
that, Boyd.
Maybe
I said
you
want to
watch it now. It's brilliant.
But that's just one, Boyd.
Yeah, exactly.
Daisy May Cooper. But the other highlight, they were brilliant. Daisy May Cooper and her brother who make that show were fantastic. And she wore, you'll have seen,
she wore
a dress,
football strip
made of Swindon football strip, bright red, which I got a photo taken with. It was so fantastic. So that won. Catastrophe.
Yes, Sharon okay, Delaney, fine.
Brilliant
yeah
show.
Yeah.
That was in the category.
Next.
Chewing Gum, the great Michaela Cole. Genius. That was in the
what
category.
What series is that? Second?
And Time Wasters, which you all loved on this very show.
Yeah, I did love that. Time Wasters, I'm happy with. Chewing Gum, what series
those
is that?
Are the four.
What series,
series
is it?
Series 2, which was
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't deserve to be there.
Wow.
Motherland
I wasn't
was
expecting
it,
that
its debut. I'm furious about
I wasn't
this
either.
And do you know what? Usually my anger is pointed at like just in the air because I've got no one to focus it on. And now Boyd has admitted right here that he was part of that decision.
She's really cross.
I've never seen anything like it.
I don't know.
Meanwhile,
pissed off.
Just wow. Fuck.
Okay. But I mean, well, you know what? That's three swear words.
Yeah.
We're going to get
I've never
a job.
Seen anything like
okay
it.
Because this is getting out of control.
Right, if you don't want to be snooty magooty about the Jane McDonald show. So Cruising with Jane McDonald, the brilliantly titled Cruising with Jane McDonald.
But she is cruising.
She's cruising.
On a
on a cruise or just around
on
like
a cruise
local
ship
areas?
Oh, cruise ships. Yeah, right. Well, this is the thing. So she comes into the press conference that I'm hosting and everyone's like amazed. Everyone's incredibly excited to see Jane McDonald. What's
she's
like?
A legend.
She is thrilled. She's so she cannot believe it.
Yeah, because she's
And she's very,
very
self-effacing
humble
about the show because I have actually seen some of this show.
It's
by the way,
really
have you
good
ever seen it?
No,
oh,
I haven't.
You would like it.
The best thing about it is, it's literally her going on cruises, which she does. She loves doing anyway.
Yeah.
Being paid
a pretty penny.
Pretty penny, and she takes her own little like she films stuff on her own like little camera, doesn't she?
She's
like
a ledge.
So a lot of it is her literally like walking around with her camera, like almost like extended selfie video, looking around and kind of you know taking in the sights on the ship.
She's a true
sounds like
pro
a documentary.
It's quite low.
Lo-fi.
But, so this is the funny thing. The first thing she said, well, I asked her about the show. She goes, it's just our little show, our little amateurish show. The producer's like, it's not amateurish. We did a professional day. He got quite, you know, that was quite funny. And then she said, the joy of cruising. She's talking about the joy of cruising, how cruising is the best thing in the world.
Oh, fantastic.
I think at one point she said the sexiest thing is to go cruising. And everyone's like, all the hacks from the daily papers are like giggling and, you know, laughing. And she's completely, seems genuinely oblivious to the fact that there's two meanings to the word.
I love Jay McDonald. I think she's a wonderful legend. And also she's like, cruising is great. So, you know what?
Do you go cruising then?
I've been on a cruise.
Where?
I went on a cruise when I came back from New York. I cruised on the Queen Mary.
Oh, wow. I didn't even remember
A Queen Mary.
Did you see Jane?
I didn't. Jane do you know who was on my cruise?
Camcorder? Who?
James Taylor, which was amazing.
A legendary Canadian folk singer.
Yeah, wow. It was incredible.
Just to confirm, Cruising with Jay McDonald won the BAFTA in the features category. It'd be Antics Roadshow, No More Boys and Girls, Can Our Kids Go Gender Free, which was on BBC Two and was very good, and The Secret Life of the Zoo, which was very good. And
it triumphed.
Yeah, Cruising won. And of course, Love Island won.
People seem to not be very happy about that, though.
People get Snooty Magooty.
Snooty Magooty, see?
They were great. And so Chris and Marcel came on, and the producer. And that was quite interesting. I talked to the producer quite a lot about, you know, what's happening in the next series. So it was all...
Did you find out any secrets?
No secrets. But it was all in all, glorious. Sean Bean won for Broken, which you reviewed,
What did we say? We said Sean Bean is going to win all the BAFTAs for that.
Yeah.
And do you remember we said he was going to win an Oscar? Because anyone can win a BAFTA, but we take that back now.
Yeah, Murder and Successful won Best Comedy Entertainment Program, which also did we? I'm sure we did that. Big Tom Davis.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
I'm just going through now. Now I've started. Peaky Blinders won Best Drama.
Of course.
I haven't got any objections to any of these. You know what I've got a problem with.
BGT won Best Entertainment Programme. Had a lovely chat with Deck.
How is Deck?
He was fine. He was absolutely fine, yeah.
He's loving life. His wife's pregnant.
He's loving life, yeah. Handmaid's Tale won International, which we'll be talking about later, series two. O.T. Fagbenley, who is the plays her husband, and you know, in the flashbacks. Did you watch any of season one?
We reviewed the first episode.
Yeah. Elizabeth Moss's husband. Yeah, do you remember? He accepted the award, and he's lovely. He's very nice. Molly Windsor run for Three Girls. You watched Three Girls about the Rochdale.
No, but
scandal.
I want to. Everyone was talking about that.
Yeah, and Three Girls won Best Miniseries. Morgana Robinson's Summer won Best Short Form Program. She's very funny. Oh, Rio Ferdinand's documentary won Best Documentary.
Oh my gosh,
that was brilliant.
That was devastating. Yeah. That absolutely brilliant.
Exactly. And he said that meant more to him winning this award than all the trophies he's won.
I'm sure it did.
A lot of trophies. Yeah. Casualty won Best Soap and Teen Drama. Kate, controversial. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah. EastEnders wasn't even in that category.
No. And,
do you know, weirdly, in Red Sparrow, one of the doctors from Casualty pops up. It was very strange.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's strange.
Was it Charlie?
No.
The man who never leaves Casualty.
No. Charlie's not allowed to leave. But yeah.
And finally, the Virgin TV Must See Moment Award, the only award voted by members of the public, was won by Blue Planet's Mother Pilot Whale Greaves.
Oh, that was awful. That, oh God.
Sad times.
That was awful. Yeah. Where she was carrying a baby around.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And believe it or not, I still haven't finished because I just want to say one more thing, which is that Deadpool is out today.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2, in fact. Yeah, Deadpool was out ages ago. Deadpool 2 is out today, Tuesday the 15th of May.
It's got one of my favourite girls from Atlanta in it, who plays Donald Glover's girlfriend.
In Atlanta, yes. Yeah. She's brilliant in it. Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
Zazzy.
She's brilliant. And she's the best new character, actually, I have to say.
Is
so there's
she?
Like a few newbies, yeah. And it's really brilliantly entertaining. Kay's furious because I didn't invite her to the special secret screening I went to, because she was busy at the time.
Why didn't you invite me, though?
I love Deadpool, and he did not invite me.
I wasn't allowed to tell anyone I was seeing it, let alone have a plus one.
But I saw you writing that thing which said you wouldn't say any secrets of Deadpool, so I knew you were going already.
Zazie Beetz plays Domino. She's one of the new recruits, one of the new in the X-Squad. That Deadpool gathers to try and rescue this young boy played by Julian Dennison of Hunt for the World of People fame. Did you see that?
No.
Oh. And Josh Brolin is Cable.
He's like the baddie in everything now. So do you need a baddie? Yeah. Okay, Josh, are you available to be the baddie in everything?
All I'm saying, so this is my review, my quick Deadpool 2 review, is it's even funnier, even more outrageous, even more action-packed and clever and... than the first one.
Yes.
So if you like the first one, it's got even more of that.
I think we should go on a group outing.
I'll so happily see it again. My favourite thing, though, is it's got... You know the title sequence in the first one? Do you remember? So it had, like, you know, starring some egomaniac club, paraphrasing, rather than having everyone's name. And it was in part of that slow motion action sequence thing.
Yeah.
This time, it's very similar, except even better. it's a spoof of James Bond style title sequences.
Oh,
so you know how
right
you have all the
yeah,
you always have the ladies exploitatively, you know, kind of rubbing themselves in silhouette. Well, you've got Deadpool exploitatively rubbing himself in silhouette.
Oh, I think
with
I
a
saw
classic
what something
power ballad by Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah,
fantastic.
Course.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Oh, so there you go, Deadpool 2 out today. Go and see it. That
we will.
Concludes the first part of the podcast. It's been extended. I blame myself.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that was fine.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
What have we got? I think we've got like something before the meat.
We've
what do
got
we call it? What's the section called now?
Tweets before the meat.
Yes, we have. We've got tweets before the meat. It's our new franchise because we're
just reviews news has been retired.
It's been retired and you know we've kicked back on the whole reviews front for a bit. We felt people might be getting fatigued with that. So we've now moved on to this.
Can't imagine why.
Now, just to remind you guys, we do have Twitter at UnmissablesPod, and we've had some feedback. So I did a shout out midweek last week to say, look, if you've got any questions for us, anything we can do. And we've got loads of questions. So first up, at Cold Ghetto says, do you know when the second series of 13 Reasons Why will be arriving? Very keen to see how they adapt the format.
Yes, I do believe it's
my glamorous assistant.
Oh, didn't we do a feature on that?
Yeah, we did a feature on it in the current issue of Heat magazine.
So first of all, go and buy the magazine, but
we are the reason that we would review it this week, but we're forbidden. The interesting enough, this is behind the curtains, behind the scenes.
Yeah, BTC.
Inside.
Forbidden.
Yeah, there's a very late embargo on this series, second series of 13 Reasons.
Does that mean
why.
It's not very good?
No. I think it's because it's so controversial. So I wrote the feature about how controversial it was, season one, because it dealt with suicide, and you did actually see the suicide, which was very controversial.
Oh, that is controversial.
Unlike what you're saying about Coronation Street.
Can you nutshell it for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about?
13 Reasons Why is based on a young adult, best-selling young adult novel, and it's all about a teenage girl, high school girl, takes her own life, leaves 13 cassette tapes to a boy in her class, explaining the reasons why she took her life.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
this
effectively,
sounds horrible.
It's a series of the people. They're all about the different people in her peer group and what they've did to her in various horrible ways. It includes sexual assault. It is. I mean, I said in my article, and I think it's true, it's probably the most raw and kind of real teen drama ever, controversial teen drama
really?
Ever.
Yeah, this is not Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, it was like,
it looks like
Dawson's
Creek,
but even
in the
more
adverts.
So.
Oh,
and
God.
Yet, also, it was very controversial because people, some mental health experts had issues with the way it depicted suicide because it's such a, you know, there's strict rules about even reporting it.
Didn't they feel like, because some people thought it's like an instruction manual
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so God. I think it's a really good show. I think it's a brilliant show, actually. So, and I'm not sure, I generally feel,
that
I'm no expert.
That doesn't feel like it would lend itself to a second series, though. Like,
well, that's interesting.
If you find out.
Because there's only one novel, and so this is completely new, and this is now not about sexual assault, and I mean, I haven't watched them yet, but it starts on Friday, the 18th of May, is the answer
Friday,
to the question.
Friday, the 18th of May.
On the Netflix. And we're only not reviewing it because we couldn't because of the embargo. It runs out, I think, later this week. And then everyone can watch it and decide for themselves. But I think they just wanted people to decide for themselves, you know, and not go on about the controversy. This is my own interpretation of why it's been embargoed.
Who was that question from?
That was from
Cold
Ghetto.
That was a long rambling answer.
All right, next up, we've got at Gertie Perkins 8. What a fantastic name.
She's a long time pog.
And she says, what happened to the BBC drama Cops set in Brighton? It was really good with diverse characters and cast, including Amanda Abington, Sean Dooley and Ashley Walters. That does sound good.
It was
Where
good.
Has it gone?
It was good. I did a feature on that program.
Really?
It was good, yeah. And the answer to that question, I believe, is that it was a pre-Watershed program. It was on 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night on BBC One.
With Amanda Abington.
Yeah. And it was really good. It was really good. But I think it just didn't... It's hard. You know, how many pre-Watershed dramas are on 8 o'clock? Hardly any.
And how much drama can you have pre-Watershed?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's hard, especially in a cop drama.
Yeah.
So it was a difficult challenge that the BBC specifically wanted it to be. Kind of family friendly, and it didn't get the numbers they wanted. I think it didn't do that badly, but I think they just didn't recommission it, and it was controversial because a lot of people really liked it. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Next up, at Claire Glitter, could we please review Empire? It's so good.
Do you know what, at Claire Glitter, who's also another long time pog, it is really good. But do you know what? I don't know about you guys. It's one of those shows that I've never been able to get past the first season.
Same, I
watched the first couple of episodes.
And hasn't it moved to... It was on E4, but I think it's moved to like 5 stars.
But maybe we should revisit it.
No, 5 USA.
Revisit.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves it. We should revisit.
Yeah, should revisit.
Right,
yeah.
JD, John Dan will put it on the list. Okay, then we've had at Torres J47. Now, Torres is one of our long-time listeners, and he says, has the committee watched episodes of at NBC Timeless or at Vida? Underscore Stars? What is that? And would they care to pass judgment? Timeless. What is Timeless?
Timeless is, I believe, a science fiction drama that I have to admit I haven't seen. And Vida, I don't know Vida.
Vida means life in Spanish. Wow. Oh my God, hopefully it's a Spanish drama.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yes. All right, we're going to look into those. Boyd's going to look into that. And then we also had at Danae Robinson 1 said, does anyone know why W have dropped EastEnders? Now listen, Danae Robinson, I was actually going to phone W or UK TV to get the answer.
Sorry, W Channel?
Yes.
Dropped EastEnders?
Yes.
Why did they, what?
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to phone the press office because I thought, come on, let's be thorough. Well, Boyd actually said,
do some journalism.
Yeah, do some journalism, phone up. And but then I didn't need to because Boyd helpfully did a Google instead.
Yeah.
And
it was magical.
It's a Google.
It was an amazing moment. And it has been dropped just because I think they weren't getting enough viewers. And
on the W channel?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. A BBC programme, EastEnders, is on the W channel. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, because W Channel is part of UK TV, and UK TV is partly, or at least it was, I don't know if it still is, I think it still is, partly, they buy loads of stuff from the BBC, and it's partly funded by the BBC, I think, partly like invested in by the BBC, if you like.
Well, listen, Steve North, the genre manager of entertainment and comedy at UK TV, said, the contractual period for airing EastEnders on W has come to an end, and we currently have no plans to transmit future episodes.
Ooh.
So,
handbags.
Soz EastEnders, you're gone.
Meanwhile, Vida is a drama about two Mexican-American siblings from East Los Angeles. Yeah, check it out.
What's that on?
It's on the Stars channel. That's why Kay was confused because...
I thought that's Stars.
Yeah, that's the
American.
Twitter handle of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
So are we going to... Can we
I haven't seen anyone showing it here. Oh, we'll
as soon as they do, though, Torres, we will get on it. Okay, final few bits. We've got... listen. This is Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the week.
Listen to this. I love this one particularly. At Daz Deluxe says... I hope... At Unmissable Pod doesn't start including listener reviews. It's the most tedious part of the Atwittertainment podcast.
Listener reviews.
Oh my God. How we did reviews news?
On I wouldn't say they're brief analysis on.
Well, ours aren't brief, and he's already annoyed about the other ones.
But
so.
We're definitely not going to include them. No way.
Well, Boyd, we had a section called Reviews News for about 50 episodes.
Do they have a thing where listeners say what they think about things?
Yeah, listeners. They read out. Oh,
God, no. Oh, no.
On Wittertainment, they read out quite detailed.
Well, we do care what all of you think.
Very well-written, intelligent reviews from listeners.
Oh, I'm so disappointed, Daryl. Yeah. I thought you were being highly sarcastic, which I applaud.
It's a misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding. Okay. And then final couple of things. Just wanted to give you some feedback on the live event idea, Boyd. Last week you put out to everyone, shall we do a live event in Cafe Nero? Yeah. Will anyone come?
Or in Hammersmith Apollo.
Right. Yeah. We've had a bit of feedback. At Cedar Master says, looking forward to coming to a live podcasting for about £10. Hashtag the ludicrous fucking podcast. Now, I thought he was being... I was like, oh my God.
No, that's what I
yes,
said.
Yes, and that's what you said. You called it the ludicrous fucking podcast. Yeah. Right, anyway.
That is a great name for podcast.
In a fond way.
Right, so then we had at Laura Stell saying, yes to the live show, although I do have a poglet to consider. Will there be a babysitting service provided?
Boyd will hold your baby.
Boyd will do that.
Relax.
Yeah.
Boyd,
it's like the Pope holding the baby.
Do you promise to hold the baby?
Laura Stell's
yes, he does.
Poglet.
No.
He's going to hold. Yes.
We'll hire a creche.
Right, okay. The creche might be bigger than the actual.
This has gone from us not having enough people to fill Cafe Nero to we're hiring a creche. Okay. And then Nitty Katie says, absolutely love to come to a live pod. I'll perhaps pay £15. Are you kidding?
Oh, someone's got a lot of disposable income.
Yeah, and also £15. I don't know if we're worth that.
Give you £5 change
all
from
of
that.
The live event feedback. And then finally, while we were talking about Diedrich Santa, so this morning he tweeted about being at the airport going to Tinstar.
Yes.
right? Yes. He was going to Tin Star.
What?
Yes. And he said he's a touch sleep deprived, but nonetheless tingly with anticipation. So I was excited when I saw that. And I was like, come on, can we come? Mm. Knowing how much the Unmissables podcast loves it. And he said, of course, I'll sneak you in. So to me, that says that we are imminently going to head to Canada.
Are we all going after this?
Grab your passport, guys. We're going.
Oh, great.
Just believe every word he says, yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke to Diedrich, and I was very excited by it. He told me...
Oh, you two are having a Diedrich off.
Yeah, Diedrich loves me more than Kay. Anyway,
Diedrich's my friend.
I'm genuinely excited by the fact that he is one of the... His company is producing Utopia. Remember Utopia when it was on Channel 4? The mind-blowingly... bright, colourful, violent drama that was about, all started with this comic book, mysterious comic book. Do you ever see it? No. It's about, you're looking at me like I'm mad. It was quasi dystopian.
Yeah, I know, it sounds it.
Your face almost like screws up
really
when the dystopia.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was brilliant in its own right. Now, this has been in development for ages, the American remake, and it's being created and written by Gillian Flynn of Gone Girl fame.
Oh, I don't recognize
that. Yeah, he told me that it's being written by her, and it's her spin.
It is not Gillian. It is Gillian.
Gillian, no, it's Gillian.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? I have been calling her Gillian forever.
More fool you.
That yeah. I think most people think her name's Gillian.
It's Gillian.
It's Gillian.
It's a hard G.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
if you want to check with,
if you've learned nothing
Diederich,
at all from this podcast, you've learned that sometimes people's names are not Gillian, they are Gillian.
Yeah. So I think it's quite an American thing.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, she's a brilliant, brilliant writer, and it's going to be her unique spin on this already incredible series that went on years ago on Channel
4. Wow. What other goss did
it's
you
It's going to be on
else?
Amazon Prime.
Just about the road trip to Canada, is it?
Nothing about the road trip.
Well, when I spoke to Diederich, I didn't really speak to Diederich.
Is that enough? Grotesque name dropping and
is.
Twitter.
It's
do you know what it's time
bombs.
For? It's time for some bloody meat.
This is, I think this is probably the record for the latest we've gone to the meat, isn't
this
it?
Is, this is the equivalent of, you know, when they don't show the titles of a programme till like...
Yeah, 52
so this minutes. Is like, this is our new version of that.
52
it's
minutes,
like when we're going to get
it's
to
like
the
we're reinventing
meat.
The
yeah,
wheel.
Poor John.
Yeah. And like that, you know, when 52 minutes off, 52 minutes in the OA, when the title started, you got hairs on the back of your neck went, I bet our listeners similarly.
Guys, calm down.
After how long is it, John?
Oh,
50?
God, you're kidding.
Kay's horrifying.
Okay, it's fine. We just got speed talk. Now go.
Just read the titles. We'll give a star rating and then that'll be it, okay?
No, we're going to luxuriate in the joy that is A Very English Scandal first, which starts this Sunday on BBC One at 9 o'clock. It's a three-parter. It's written by Russell D. Davis. It's based on a book, true book by John Preston, factual book. It's directed by the filmmaker Stephen Frears. It stars Hugh Grant as Jeremy Thorpe, who was the leader of the Liberal Party in the 70s. He was an MP in the 60s. He was secretly gay, as it was illegal in the 60s, let's face it. His secret lover was Norman Scott, who was then he met him as a stable boy, and he's played by the great Ben Whishaw. They had a secret affair, and it got him in big trouble. Alex Jennings is his best mate, Peter Bessel, and etc. But the big story is, and this has all happened incredibly, he's the only MP, British MP, who went on trial for murder, for attempted murder. So he did, you know, the story is, he got so desperate that he was being blackmailed effectively by this younger guy who was going to reveal all about their relationship. And it was a huge, big scandal. And he was a big, famous political figure, Jeremy Thorpe, not obscure in any way. And in order to silence him, he set up an elaborate murder plot, which plays out in episodes 2 and 3, which we haven't seen yet. We've seen episode 1, haven't we?
Yeah.
That's the main story. So now, I remember this very clearly, because when I was growing up in the 70s, I remember Jeremy Thorpe in the early 70s, you know. And it was the biggest thing on the news for months and months. So even then, as like an 8, 9, 10-year-old or whatever, you're as aware of it, and very famous thing. But when I interviewed Hugh Grant and Russell D. Davis about this.
Oh, did you?
For Pilot TV magazine, still available. £4.99.
Hold on. £5 minus a penny.
£5 minus a penny. And they both made the point that no one under 40 has heard of these people.
Yeah, I mean,
but
clueless.
Everyone over 40 has. And it's so true. And I've been checking out this theory as time has gone on when I talk to people about the programme. And it's absolutely true. So I guess you two have never heard of any of this.
No, I hadn't.
So my question is, I know what I think. What did you think, Kay?
I thought it was really interesting because I had no knowledge of this case at all. And to use Steph's favourite words, I thought it was a very fascinating social commentary on, you know, the fact that, like, I mean, it's so unthinkable to me now that, like, homosexuality would be illegal, that they'd have to hide it. The fact that, you know, most gay men would either persecuted, prosecuted, or driven to suicide. And so, like, yeah, I thought it was really interesting from that point of view. And also, I think as a period drama, it really pulls it off. I mean, it's the level of detail that goes into it, I thought it was very nice to look at. And also, how well cast. Like, Hugh Grant, Paddington, now this. God, yeah, he's on a good range.
Range is just...
Well, and he was in Stephen Frears' film with Florence Foster Jenkins, where he played her...
Yes,
kind of,
I watched that. Yeah, I watched that. That was good. Yeah. And also, this reminded me of Man in the Orange Shirt. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it
was... Which was a Diederich production.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was really good, and I thought... it was very interesting. I thought the themes as well were interesting to me, like identity. Like Jeremy, one of his big things, no, Norman rather, the lover, Ben Whishaw's character, he's got mental health issues, which I think is interesting how that was portrayed as well. And he's been blackmailing with love letters. And at some point, he loses his national identity card or something. You know, was it?
His national insurance
card.
That's
it.
Yeah. Well, he never really gets one, I think, is the thing, because
he left it behind. He left it behind. He left his last residence very quickly. Right. He left it behind.
He left it in the stables. Okay.
And his whole thing was Jeremy was going to help him sort it out. Yeah. And so, like, every time, they split up and whatever. And, like, he was living the high life. He was doing quite well. And he falls, you know, he's back in a bad situation, and his whole thing is about, like, you need to give me this national insurance card. It's all about identity. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah. Steph.
Well, I think we all know what this drama is really about.
Oh God, yeah.
Don't we?
Okay,
hold on.
Come on.
The dogs.
Yeah, there's a dog in it.
I'm sorry. This dog is just the most adorable dog I have ever seen. There's a dog called Mrs. Tish, it's called, this dog. Oh, it's a rough-haired Jack Russell, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Now, for those of you who think I'm just being silly, then this dog is really not a part of it. It is a part of it. So I'm not giving anything away because everybody, this is all true story. When he comes to see Jeremy Thorpe, played by Hugh Grant, and he has his dog in his arms with him, I just think this dog is like an extension of him, and they mention this dog throughout, don't they?
Yep.
Oh my God, it is just adorable. Sales of Roughhead Jack Russells are really going to go up. I'm telling you, this dog is amazing. However, Hugh Grant, I can't get over how good his performance is in this. The subtlety of his performance in this is amazing. Like, there's the brilliant scene where he's, like I said, it's where he brings the dog to him, and he's coming down through the Houses of Parliament to come and greet him, and there's a little skip and a little grin that he does, and I just think it's played to perfection by Hugh Grant. I think Ben Whishaw is just gorgeous and brilliant. And
he's good at doing camp, Hugh.
I
like it when he slips into farce as well, when he's trying to retrieve these love letters, and
it's so entertaining, isn't it? It's just so, I absolutely loved it. I totally agree with you. When it's kind of farcical, the whole thing, and Norman Scott's character has briefly become, he becomes a model, doesn't he, briefly, all of that, and gets into the drug scene and all that. The whole thing I just absolutely loved, but the star of the show for me is absolutely this Jack Russell.
Well, I've got a few things to say about the dog element, because the funny thing is, obviously, like, you know, I asked about that. It was very, the dogs were difficult in the filming of the show.
What?
Hugh Grant, didn't get on with the various dogs playing that dog character.
What do you mean?
They didn't gel. Yeah, exactly.
It's a tale.
And
I believe
I was trying to find the quote just now from Rossi Davis, but he's not a dog fan, so it's quite funny about the whole. Yeah, if you look up,
what?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. But the dog's great. It's a brilliant.
Is it more than one dog then?
Well, playing. I think there isn't. Yeah, there's another dog that comes in later on. Yeah, just to say.
I am loving this drama.
It's very Steph friendly, this drama. Yeah,
so great.
Identity and dogs. And true crime, of course.
Yeah.
It's true crime.
Oh.
It's a great, famous true crime. The brilliant thing for me is Rossity Davis. It's his script. So he brings out, obviously he makes murder. We're talking before about making it funny. I mean, it is funny. Mm. I think it's, luckily.
After a certain period of time, murder is hilarious.
Jeremy Thorpe is dead now. He died a few years ago. Of course, Norman Scott's still alive, and they consulted Norman Scott, and they got his approval. And he's even in it. He's got a cameo in it at some point.
Which point?
I think it's in 2 or 3. I don't think it's been in the air, I don't think. But interesting, over the weekend, and I knew all this because I'd interviewed them, over the weekend, in the Sunday Times writer, and I don't even remember who it was, tweeted about how she thought it was wrong for Hugh Grant because he campaigns about privacy, for and the press, that there should be more privacy for people. But his concern is mainly, you know, people who have suffered at the hands of the press, normal people who have their lives ruined. That can happen. And she was saying, well, you're invading the privacy of Norman Scott because, you know, he's not happy with the way he's been portrayed.
Oh, pipe down.
At no point in this article did it mention that he gave permission. And they consulted him and he approved of the whole thing. Obviously, he didn't have script approval because it's a fictionalized version of these events. But
also,
they stuck to the facts. And it's
also
all about,
it was a story at the time that was reported on. Right, so you're just reporting on reports.
But
almost,
I thought to not mention that key thing, you know, to write this piece slagging off Hugh Grant for essentially being a hypocrite was ridiculous when actually he made it very clear in all the interviews he's done, they got approval of the real life person who
was
entirely
innocent. This person's obviously not done
that. Everyone's got their agendas.
Yeah, everyone's got their agendas. But I think it's brilliant. It's just all these talents have come together and they're all at the top of their game, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliantly done. My favourite bit, you know the scene where, I don't want to, it's a bit of a spoiler, but the scene where it talks about the homosexuality being illegal and he goes to visit Lord Aaron,
the
brilliant David Bamba, who's a legend anyway.
Yeah.
Boofy. Yeah. Is his name. Boofy Aaron, and it talks about how homosexuality has affected the family, and it's really moving. Suddenly, in the middle of this farcical scene, an incredibly moving story is told, if you remember that, and it's brilliantly done. Mm. 5 stars.
4 stars for me.
4.5 for me.
Can't believe you've both knocked off a star and a half.
No, I mean, listen, I had watched this straight after Safe. It was a hard one.
Okay. Mm. A Very English Scandal, BBC One, Sunday, the 20th of May, 9 p.m. Manchester, the Night of the Bomb, in sharp contrast, is our second show we're reviewing on BBC Two next Tuesday, the 22nd of May at 9 p.m. Kate?
Yes.
What's it all about?
Okay, so as a lot of us will know, in 2017 there was a terrorist attack in Manchester. It was in the lobby of the Manchester Arena after an Ariana Grande packed out, sold out concert, and a terrorist had a nail bolt bomb and kind of detonated it in the lobby, killing, I think it was 22 people and injuring hundreds more. And it's all about that night, what happened. So it's told through a combination of footage from the arena taken on cameras and like phones, testimonies from like concert goers, from the police involved, fire brigade, ambulance workers, people who survived, people who lost people in the attacks. And yeah, it's basically a summary of that night. It's just focusing on those few hours on that fateful night.
It's very, it's kind of, it's difficult to describe, isn't it, the way it's done? Because it's done very cleverly weaves in the different elements, the testimony from these young girls.
Yeah, documentary style, but with this first person testimony from these incredibly brave young women. You know, we should just say from off, it is utterly distressing, and their recollections of these girls are just heartbreaking, and it really is heart-wrenching, the whole thing. I found it incredibly difficult to watch it, actually. There's a few points where the police are talking about people that they encountered whilst this whole evening was going on, and the stories are just, I mean, I cried throughout this whole thing. I just thought it was unbelievably upsetting. But I mean, it's very well done in the way that they talk about how they managed to track down who this guy was. And actually, what was a great device throughout it was they keep telling you how many minutes after the bomb went off and things that happened. And I thought that was also incredibly scary and all the things that had happened in that time. But yeah, overall, it's I actually watched something that I thought was this called Manchester the Bomb, Our Story, which is another thing that's going to be on the BBC. And that's all about these brave young women, and it's all about their stories and how they're coping after. And that is also, I don't know when that's on though, but look out for that. But again, that is also incredibly moving.
I should have said, actually, so the terrorist was named Salman Abadi, and he's a 22-year-old Manchester boy of Libyan heritage. And they also like talk to people who knew him, so they examine, they were looking at from every angle, from the people, the victims, to the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And also I thought was interesting is that it's obviously incredibly moving, and it's a cautionary tale, but I think very much at the basis of it as well is like, right, what are the findings? What do we take away from this? Is that a lot of things weren't handled in the way that maybe they should have been, or response times weren't as quick as they should have been? Because actually one of the incredibly distressing things other than the attack was that due to the lobby being rendered a hot site, ambulance workers and the fire brigade weren't allowed to enter the area. So then people were stuck in the lobby, couldn't, a lot of whom couldn't move and couldn't come down the stairs to the ambulances, who were just left there. And so I think, you know, some good will come out of this horrendous, horrific event. And I think this, you know what, I'm really happy we reviewed this, because ordinarily I wouldn't have touched this, because I just like to keep stuff, you know, a bit lighter, and I, you know, it's not really something I'd choose to dwell on. But being forced to watch this was brilliant for me, because now, you know, I think also it's a testimony to, like, you know, all our frontline services who, you know, constantly have their services cut, and what good job they do. It's the public, and how actually when push comes to shove, people help each other, you know, like the heroism of them. And also just practical advice, like when shit like this happens, you know, I thought it was really interesting when people, like, you know, I made a tourniquet out of the handle of my bag strap, and we ripped down Ariana Grande t-shirts, we start, you know, I think it's important, we're living in a time when it's important to,
I think it was very bold of the documentary makers to address the fact that certain procedures that are put in place prevent emergency services from getting to the places that they really need to be, and that is, you know, bureaucracy. That is, and I thought that was an incredibly bold thing to do with such a sensitive. Yeah.
But there's been an inquiry, hasn't there? And I think they probably had waited till the inquiry had been published, which was quite critical. They were, you know, quite harsh about
those
issues.
And at the end, it said, like, you know, the Greater Manchester Police and the Fire Brigade. I think it was the Fire Brigade. They just didn't. They were asked to take part.
It doesn't shy away. It's not blame, but it doesn't shy away from people suggesting that things did not happen the way that they should have happened. And they do weave in testimony from public. And obviously members of the public are able to be a little bit, you know, give their opinion a bit more on what actually did happen. Yeah. But just to touch on Kay's point, the heroism, as she said, of people. I mean, there's one guy on it who basically he was at the co-op and he just heard this noise and he just ran straight there. And no doubt there are these people who did ultimately save lives. But it is very hard going, but also beautifully done, I thought, and very moving. And the heart of it, I think, like Kay says, is these incredible people and these just young girls and how they are coping with what's happened is just, it's beyond my comprehension of how they can do it.
Yeah, no, it is. I thought it was brilliantly done, yeah. And because the fans, it kind of brings home that some of the victims, you know, were just young teenage girls or younger, just going to see Ariana Grande, because the way they talk about their build up to going on the night is so sweet, isn't it? It's
like they really set the scene. They're like, you know what? We were all week. We were texting our friends. What were we going to wear? Our friends were jealous. We'd got the tickets, and it's
incredible. Obviously, yeah. So I thought it was brilliantly done, and I think we all do.
Yeah,
it's a 5-star from me.
It's 5 stars from me.
Oh yeah, 5 stars.
Manchester, the night of the bomb, BBC Two, next Tuesday, the 22nd of May, 9 p.m. And finally, The Handmaid's Tale, which neither of you have seen.
It's a solo. It's a special solo.
It'll be quick.
Reviewed... Did I just say be quick?
No, I said it'll be quick.
MF.
No, it'll be quick because neither Steph or I are talking.
Be quick.
I've got a lot of questions about this. Because,
No,
I have. Because when we watched the first episode of the first season, it was very... So based on Margaret Atwood novel, isn't it? It was very strange and distressing, and so from what I remember from that time, basically the handmaids are the only women who can now have children. So if you want to have kids,
fertility is a very rare, so because various reasons, for environmental reasons and other social reasons, being fertile is a rare resource.
It's coveted.
So the quasi-fascistic government, the new who's taken over America, the Gilead, has empowered the powers that be, use the women who aren't so powerful as handmaids, and they're brought into their homes to have sex with the husbands in order to hopefully procreate for the wives and husbands to bring them children. Yes, and Elizabeth Moss's character, June/Offred, is one of those.
But Alexis, she already Laidlaw's had a kid. Character. In the life before this, she had a husband and a child, but they've been taken away from her.
Yeah, they've been taken away. Right. So you see in flashbacks. So I think one of the best things about the show, you know, series one has become a cultural phenomenon, fair to say. Won the BAFTA last night, won Emmys, you know, huge thing. And it managed to brilliantly turn I've done it. I can't remember what we said when we reviewed it, but I probably said all this, so I won't try not to repeat myself. It brilliantly turned the novel, which I read years ago, which is very grim and relentless and is all seen from her point of view, into this very compelling drama, very televisual drama, particularly using the flashbacks to show you how the country, America, changed from, you know, what from the kind of liberal democracy it is, just about still now,
right,
into this fascist regime. And it's so, and that element, I love that. I think that's done so brilliantly. It's done so convincingly all the way through, and even more so now. So in series two, season two kicks off with, like, even more grim flashbacks to that moment. And it shows you particularly, like, how, you know, Alexis Bledel's character, Emily Ofglen, who is one of her friends, one of June's friends, and she's got her wife. She's a lesbian with a wife, and they had a kid. And of course, homosexuality was completely ruled out by the fascist regime when they came in. And you see, even more than ever, in the first two episodes of the new series, which I've seen, what happened to them and how that happened.
Oh,
and it's so grim. It's so, but it's so clever how it just. And the whole idea is that it can just go from, you know, one moment you're happily married to your girlfriend and you're a university lecturer and your kids, you know, at school and it's all fine. And then just a moment, just a little click of the finger and then it all goes wrong enough for the fascism to take over. And it's chilling.
Terrifying.
And I genuinely feel, I said on Twitter that it feels like a how-to guide for me for, like, Donald Trump, because it's just the little things that he's done. You know, like about, you know about keeping out immigrants and, you know, a lot of the things that he's done, you know, that now trans people can't serve in the military. Mm. All those, these little things are all encroached till you get to the point.
This is so depressing.
Genuinely chilling and depressing. I don't want to go on about it too much, but it is absolutely phenomenal. It's brilliant. Elizabeth Moss is incredible. There isn't one, I was going to ask you. It is unbelievably grim, dystopian. It's also very, very violent towards women. So the violence towards women, which is often enacted by the women.
Oh, yeah, we saw a bit of that in the first episode.
Yeah.
Because
Aunt Lydia is the one who looks after the handmaids, and she is a sadistic woman, but she's devoutly believes. It's a kind of religious thing as well, their dictatorship. She believes clearly in that cause, but the way she does it is, and again, it's even worse and more horrible.
I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right. So there have been a few articles written recently by women in, like, The Guardian, I saw one, and in a few American magazines and publications, saying it's all gone too far now, that we've had enough, that there's enough kind of violent scenes. We don't need this much violence towards women. A lot of it enacted by women. How is that helping the situation? So, my question is, do you agree with that?
I sort of agree, yeah. I think once it's made its point, you know, I think you don't need to see a whole series of, you know, like...
Not violence for violence's sake, I don't think you need.
Well,
also,
but
how far away... So, from where the novel ends, have we surpassed that?
Yeah, this is all new.
This is all brand new.
So the novel ended... series one ended pretty much where the novel ended.
Okay.
There were some notes at the end of the novel which kind of talk about, oh, these things might happen.
Right.
Fleshing out certain things. So it uses that. And the creator of the show has talked to Margaret Atwood, and she's a consultant on the show. So they've hatched... This is all with her approval. She's totally helped hatch what, you know, the plot lines that go now. But they take us further into the misery of the world, I have to say. Mm. So it's even grimmer than season one.
Would you say there's unnecessary violence in
it? No, not at all. Okay. It's all necessary because I think...
For the storytelling.
No, yeah, and it's showing you the horror. It's a warning, isn't it, to humanity. It's a warning to America particularly that... You can't let this happen. This is the cruelty that can be enacted in a society, particularly against women. It's social commentary. I feel it's all completely valid. I do think it's so relentless and kind of hard to take.
I just think in the time that we're living and the conversations that are going on, do we need that?
Well, I feel we do. But I'm not a woman, and I'm not.
You're not
a
woman. What?
I can confirm.
You are just telling us now.
Yeah, I just want to confirm. I self-identify as a man.
Okay.
And I think in this... But I completely understand why women might just go, no, I'm not taking this anymore and give up. So that's...
To be fair, I don't like a lot of any kind of violence.
Yeah.
But so...
Sure.
I mean, I do.
You love violence, but you make the true violence and not the dystopian kind.
I like violence that's actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So...
I am giving The Handmaid's Tale. It's another. Well, 4.5 probably stars maybe from me, just as an acknowledgement that maybe it's too grim for a lot of people.
How much grimmer is it than the first season?
It's like If the first season was 9 out of 10, okay. For goodness, this is 9.5.
I did ask for percentages, but if you want to change it, that's 90% fine.
90% first, this is 95%
okay,
Grimm.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But it's brilliant. It's brilliantly done. It couldn't be better done, I think. The Handmaid's Tale season 2 kicks off on Channel 4 this Sunday, the 20th of May at 9 of the p.m.
What's it on? Channel 4?
Channel 4.
So you can't watch it all in one go?
No. No.
You probably wouldn't want to by the sound of it.
Oh, relentless. Blimey Charlie, not.
Blimey Charlie, not.
That's a phrase stolen from Mark Kermode.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
just to acknowledge that. Oopsie. People don't want to think I'm just nicking their
oh, dear.
Catchphrases. That's the meat. I mean, it's been a record-breaking length of meat.
But it's been
furious.
Good. No, it's been a prime steak this week.
Now there's only one more bit of the format to go.
It's question time. Steph was looking
sorry.
At her phone. Right. Brilliant.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she's just checking facts, like I do.
I'm so sorry.
What is, based on A Very English Scandal, which is a true story dramatised in 3 parts, what's your favourite true story dramatised in either a film or TV series? Steph. Okay, Steph.
I have picked, and I was actually just checking that, yeah. That I'd got the name right. Sorry, Kay.
That's right.
American
it's a solo performance.
Apologia, which as you know means I'm not really sorry. American Gangster, Denzel Washington.
True, yeah. So true.
Yes. The rise to power of gangster Frank Lucas in the 1970s. It's also starring What's His Chops, Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
As the policeman who is chasing him down. If you haven't seen American Gangster, watch it this weekend or watch it this evening. I don't know what your plans are, but it is excellent.
Is it on the Netflix?
I believe it is on the Netflix.
Okay. Are you just making that up, or do you check?
Of course, I'm making that up, boys. You put me on the spot.
Always
and I'm
presume
not sure.
It's on Netflix.
It'll be on what? It'll be on either Netflix, Amazon.
I'm going to check.
It's a
Sky.
Google.
It's on one of those things.
I'm going to do a Netflix check.
But it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good film. Yeah.
And it's where
and it's your absolute
whole...
favorite, though. That's
it is. Yeah, because words. It's where the whole "my man" thing comes in, doesn't it? Isn't it? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's what you used to say.
American.
Just to let you know my answer, I'm not very committed to this question.
It is on Netflix.
Oh, well
know.
Done, Steph.
Yeah, there you go. Showing you now
everything
to confirm.
Is.
There
everything
you go.
Is. Everything's on the flicks. You can always rely on the flicks.
I'm not really committed to this.
Why not?
I'm just not into it. So I'm going to go for The Crown.
Diva. Oh, that's a good answer. What's wrong with that? Oh,
that
you
is
just
a good answer.
That's what you want to say.
What, but I don't understand why. Where is the lack of commitment in that?
She knows what she's like. She's. Gets yeah. Diva. She's just a diva.
Yeah,
she's being
is.
A diva.
She's been very
diva.
Diva-ish this week,
very
actually.
Very diva-ish, yeah.
However... Boydo, as
yes.
You like to be called by Benedict
Boydie.
Cumberbatch.
Boydie.
Boydie.
Oh, Boydie. Apologia again.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
not
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Get it right.
Boydie. Go on.
Hoffman. Redford.
Ah.
Pakula. Alan Jay. All the President's Men.
Cause. Oh, I knew
Watergate,
you were going to go classic.
Woodward. Bernstein. The classic story.
It's amazing.
Told, not only is it the most incredible story in the history of journalism, obviously, how they exposed the Watergate mm-hmm. scandal with Richard Nixon, it's beautifully filmed.
It is.
Andrzej Pikula is a legendary genius director. He specialised in 70s kind of conspiracy thrillers. It's like a thriller all the way through. I literally watch it about once a year, I would say, once a year.
Right, okay. I'm just going to stop you there.
Stop me
so,
there.
I now know that you watch... this yeah. once a year. Yeah. You watch The Get Out every
yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
And what was the one last week that he yeah. watches once a month?
Yeah, there was another one
Midnight
you said.
Run.
Midnight Run, he wants to watch.
Yeah.
I think
Creature of
to
Habit.
New films.
I'm a repeat viewer.
You are.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
While
yeah.
quaffing champagne.
Well, I mean, those people from those geeks, those nerds from Empire, I've watched the Avengers film 5 times
I
in about 2 days.
I don't think associate with them.
You need to lash out.
We don't
start bringing them into the equation.
Okay.
We're attacking you at the moment, boys.
Okay. At least these are classic films. Not some.
What?
You know.
What are you doing?
Ill-conceived ending to a big superhero.
Oh my. Let's not get on the Avengers because
yeah,
I
we haven't got time
I,
for this.
We
like,
got
we're
time
3 hours into this. People have expired.
I've asked a lot of
it.
People and no one agrees with you, okay? Let's not get into that.
Right. Well, you know what? We've had a good time.
We've had a good run.
Just to wrap this up,
had.
If you want to get in touch, at Unmissables Pod, it'll be mm-hmm. great to hear from you. Any more questions or anything else? Any other ideas of like. Next road trips we can go on.
If you've got any ideas about how we can shorten the podcast effectively, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, somehow us not watching one of the shows end up being the longest podcast ever. Apologies. John hopefully edited it down
John
to a manageable
so
5 hours. And if you're listening to me, oh no, you can't because I'm doing it tonight live on Radio 2 with Sarah Cox.
Boy, you can't just have random thoughts. So
stop
no
rambling.
If you're listening to me back talking about TV with Sarah Cox, you can on the BBC Radio. I play rap. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you need more Boyd,
yeah.
be sure to tune in.
Yeah. We'll all be back next week and it will be a much tighter focused podcast.
We can't even end. I promise. We cannot end.
It's over. Bye.